You know, my job is a hard job. My job is just to get people from here into eternity. Of course, everything we do along the way matters. We have to win the lost. We have to evangelize our community. We have to have facilities that will accommodate our ministry. That's what we're, when you invest in the kingdom, you're investing in things that are bigger than you. But if you knew the pressure that you feel every time when you talk about giving, and again, if you've been here for any length of time, we rarely do any special giving. But I just feel like Satan is so anti-growth. And sometimes we allow that to prey on our minds, and you just feel so much pressure just talking about it. But my only job is to plow ground. Brian, what's that scripture you share with me? Hebrews 3 and 4. Brother Brian, I'm going to let him take some of the heat. He brought up a scripture to me. He said, you forgot this one. And it says, For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So we have to do the labor, but God does the actual work. And the Lord will do it. He'll always do it. I'm always sad to see people who get off the train in the middle of the journey. Israel lost people in the wilderness, and the church always loses people. I'm always sad to see people see what happens to their lives, the blessings of God, because they walked away from the Lord, and just different things drive people away. And then they always point the finger. That's what I did this week, and my wife bit it. She didn't like me putting my finger in her face. Now that's on record, so I have ammunition if I ever have to call the authorities on her. Just kidding. It was my truck door. So anyway, I thank God for people of faith. And faith doesn't mean you're not scared. Faith sometimes is frightening. But I've been amazed. I always know when God's in it, and I'm done. I'm going to read, but people start coming to me, and I've already had, my God, half a dozen people. They're going to blow their $2,000 giving out the water. I've already had some people who have already given their offering plus some. And so I say to you that are going to move out in faith, watch and see what God does. It's not going to me. Don't worry. My salary won't increase by 5 cents. But I'll be excited the day our teachers can close doors. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1. 5 verses. This text takes place exactly 40 years after the incident with the golden calf. While you're turning, Brother Tyler has some tables set up out in the foyer today and next Sunday, and they'll have their ministry fair. They would love for you to come and look and see where you'd be interested in helping out. Yesterday morning, I looked at the camera, and I saw Sister Annette's car here. I didn't see any other cars, so I hope you had some help cleaning. We so much appreciate these folks that clean our church. And daycare girls, whoever closed this week, you guys did an amazing job. Looks great over there. Deuteronomy 9 and 1. If you still like me even a little bit, just say amen. Yeah. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Now, have you ever worried about my delivery? How would you like to be the children of Israel? Here comes the word of the Lord. You're going to pass over this day, and boy, you're going to have a lot of problems ahead of you. And these are big problems, and they're big people, and you've heard about them too. That's what we're reading. Understand, therefore, this day. Boy, let me tell you something. I feel the prophecy of the Lord in this word today. Understand, therefore, this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Now, he says, you're going to pass over Jordan this day, and there's going to be a lot of big, big men that you have heard of, and they're fierce men, and it's not going to be pretty. But I'm going to go before you, because I'm a consuming fire, and I'm going to deal with your problems first. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out before thee. So then God says, after I do it, don't say you did it because of your walk with God. Now, you'll like that in a little bit. Then in verse 5, he says, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Boy, there's just so much in this text. I want to preach to you when they pray on this title, the land of no regrets. You going to pray for us?
God, I pray for this service right now. God, I pray that you anoint him, God, and you use him, God, and we'll get something from this service that we can apply to our life, God, and our walk with you, Lord, God. That we'll just be paying attention to you, Lord, God, and just strengthen us, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I never say much how thankful I am for all of my boys and my wife and my family and for how much they do. Thank you. You can say amen too if you want to. Amen. Remember, 40 years earlier, the doubters. Now listen, I will help you today if you let me. Now I'm going to talk to you in the Holy Ghost. There are people in this room that the Holy Ghost has already shown me you're talking about leaving. I told my wife a week ago about this. I want you to hear what I got to say before you make a decision. And they know who they are, whoever you are. I know who you are. God knows who you are. But God wants to speak to you today, not just you, but everybody. 40 years earlier, it was the doubters that would not let them cross into Canaan. Let me say that one more time. 40 years earlier, it was the doubters. It was the scoffers. It was those that huffed and puffed at the possibility that God could do this great feat. It was those that thought it's too much. Always, why can't we just settle right here? They wanted to do that. Two of the tribes, and let's just stay right here. We're good right here. Why are you always pushing us, Pastor Moses? 40 years. Now they get to that point finally. This is very important because the word of the Lord comes and reminds them of everything that had happened. We'll read more. Reminds them of who he is and who we are, or they. But in that 40 years, notice that nothing changed in Canaan. The very reason they spied out the land and they chose not to go and they caused an uproar in Israel because of the giants, they're still there. The first thing the scripture tells us is about the Anakims that are still there. And how great and mighty and famed they are. Notice that in 40 years, hear me if you would, in 40 years, God did not get rid of their problem. Because that is not the plan of God. His will and wish is not to always get rid of your problem. It's to give you victory and cause you to thrive through your problem and despite your problem. Verse 3 describes the Lord as a consuming fire. It means that God himself would go before them and the victory would be a divine victory, not a human one. When you get up and you talk about building programs, I can assure you that the end result is a divine one and not a human one. I can tell you, because there's a lot of stress on a church. When you talk about other things and miracles and all of those things, Brother Chris Smile texted me a couple days ago, and he says, we're on our way to Akron Children's. He said, you know, they think Addie has a blood infection. He just asked that I would pray for her. And I said, I will, but in Jesus' name, we're not going to receive that. We're going to believe that God's bigger. 2 days later, or next day, he said, well, they think the first results were tainted. I said, no, they weren't. They weren't tainted. God just changed them, that's all. I believe it. If nobody else wants to, I do. And to my knowledge, those results did come back as having been tainted, and so there really was no blood infection according to their understanding, but there really was, but God did it. Don't give God credit when you get your rent check paid, but don't give God credit when he does something that you never seen him really do. And so the victory would be divine, not human victory. God doesn't want human victories. Do you understand what I just told you? God doesn't want human victories. That's why sometimes giving has to be a sacrifice. Because then it shows the miraculous hand of God in it. So we can't say that we did it, but through God, we were able to be a part of what God is doing. It emphasizes the dependence, not human strength. And so these are the things that we read in this text. And the reminder that we all need to hear is this. Only God knows what went through their minds. And what I mean by that is, if they're as human as we are, there had to be those that said, I wonder what would have happened if 40 years ago we'd have trusted God when we spied out Canaan and we went in. Where would we be today? Wonder how many people here today wonder that same thing. Where would I be if I just had listened to God 10 years ago? Where would I be? But many people never come to that. But then there are those that really want to serve God, and they live under the shadow of those regrets of the things that they did and what have you. And where would they be today in their journey had they listened then? Shame, guilt, feeling of unworthiness, all of those things that you wrestle with. But God is not telling them what he did. It's not because of their righteousness. He didn't say that to shame them. He didn't say, you're not coming in because you're righteous. He was saying that to encourage them. Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. People need to understand that you don't get where you are in God because of your decisions. We make the decision to follow him. We make the decision to trust him. But God does everything else. God heals the land. God is the provision. God is the victor. It's not us. And we need to understand that. Because if we don't, too many people, they live under the weight of regret. And because of that regret, it always limits people in what they do for God. It limits them in their faith. It limits how much they respond. But God said, listen, you're not going into Canaan because of your righteousness. I want you to know that. You're going in there because I want to deal with the opposition. And I'll make the way, and I will open the door, and I'll pave the path. Are you getting that yet? You will. Verse 7, it says, remember and forget not. Now, remember I told you, we don't like people bringing up our past. You know why we don't? Because of regret. But sometimes you gotta be reminded of some of the dumb things that we did that robbed us of some of the good things that God wanted to do. Not to shame us, but to remind us how big God actually is. And in the scripture that does the same thing, it says, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst prepare out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Now, I really want you to kind of get the picture that we're trying to paint. You would almost think that God is scolding them. You would almost think, all right, 40 years had passed, God, can we forget this? But God is saying to them, listen, you must remember, because if you don't, you won't respect what I'm about to do. You will not be able to revere the hand of God as it works in your life. You won't even attribute it to God. You'll think that you did it. The day that I came to the Lord, you never came to the Lord. There's not a person in here that came to the Lord. The Lord found every one of us in the pit of life. He opened up a door. He extended a hand of opportunity. We did not come to him. He came to us. We responded, but he came. And so he says, remember how rebellious you were? And remember how you provoked me to wrath? In the day that you departed out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place, you were rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord with wrath to wrath so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. Now, how would you like if I got up and I just preach it just that way? I get up and I say, welcome, church. I want to remind you something today. Remember how rebellious you've been to the Lord? Remember, I want you to know God was wanting to destroy you a few times in your life. Who do you think you are? Nobody would like that. But that's exactly what God is doing here. But it's not to shame them. That's the point I've got to make to you. It was a reminder that despite everything, God still has a promise for you. It was a reminder, despite the last 40 years that had been wasted in the wilderness, God still has a promise. It was a reminder that all those people that we lost during those 40 years, God still has a promise. It was a reminder, all those that turned their back on God over those 40 years, God still has a promise. It was a reminder, no matter how dumb you were, how rebellious you were, how stiff-necked you were, how haughty you were, God still has a promise. It gives us hope to know that despite who we are, God still has a promise for us. Many people will never come to the Lord because they don't believe that God has a promise for them. And some people will walk away. They'll blame the preacher. They'll blame the building program. They'll blame the giving. But it's because they don't believe God has a promise for them. They're stuck in the quagmire of life. They can't see their way through it because they won't trust God to do it. And so, it's a powerful reminder that we serve a God of mercy and love. It's hard to embrace the mercy and the love of God until you know how unworthy you actually were. People, most, you ever talk to somebody and they say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Good person has nothing to do with eternity. Good people go to hell. Born again people go to heaven. Except a man is born again of the water and the spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Years ago, when I was in Parma still, I'm sitting there. My pastor preached something. And he said, if you don't like it, just tear it out. And I hear the guy in front of me, shh. I'm like, oh, my God, he actually did it. Which he didn't. He just tore a piece of paper, thought he was funny. I didn't write it. But the love of God and the mercy of God seems that much greater when you know how hideous you were in the world. By his might, by his strong hand, he does these great feats. He said, I am a consuming fire. I will go before you. God does it. What a work he's done in my life. What a work he's done in your life. From time to time, you should pause and you should look back and you should see how far God has brought you. And you should remind yourself of where God delivered you from. the land where you were living when God found you. Remind yourself how broken you were, how empty you were. Remind yourself of the bar stool he found you on. Because when you remind yourself of those things, it's not because God wants us to live in our shame. It's because he doesn't want us to have regrets. And by remembering what he has done in my life, I find it easier to come out from the weight of the regret that I carry. He found me, he restored me, he blessed me with his word and his spirit, and he gave me his heart. And all that began while I was deep in sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you forget that? Have you ever had regrets in your own life that you wished over and over and over again you could change? If not, come to the altar right now, because you need prayed for. I have regrets. I have regrets I think of every day. Unfortunately, as your kids get older, those regrets get greater. It's almost like God punishes you as a parent by the regrets of the kind of parent you were. Even if you're a good parent. I mean, good's relevant. But here's the thing. You know, as a parent, you learn on the job. That's why you feel sorry for the first child. He was an experiment. Then the second one, you get a little better. By the third one, you're like, do whatever, I don't care. By the time Kevin came, we're walking through the park. He reaches over at a year old, picks up a piece of gum off the ground, puts his mouth. I said, just chew it. I'm not even taking that disgusting thing out of your mouth. You'll be fine. You'll live. He's barely ever sick. See, I helped you, son. Listen to me. We have regrets as parents. You know why? Because we failed in many cases. You know why? Because we're human. Because we didn't know. Because we had to learn on the job. You think God didn't know that? But the thing about being a child of God, he goes before us as a parent. And he does things that we can't do. I don't know about your prayers, but I say, God, that's exactly what I tell the Lord. I messed up in a lot of areas as a parent, but God, I need you to fix them for me if you can. Because you're the ultimate father. And God, you know I didn't mess up because I was just an ignorant person. I tried, but even in giving my very best, I didn't know what I was doing. And I, you know. same thing as a spouse. Why do you get so mad at your spouse? As if you get married and you know what marriage is. Ain't a person here that's gotten married knew what they were getting themselves into. I promise you that. Oh, we're still in love. We're not talking to you, those of you married under 3 years. You can just tune out during this conversation. You don't know how to be a spouse. You don't know how to be a wife or be a husband. We struggle, we look, we make phone calls, we Google, and we get all the horrible advice in the world. Regrets. So you have regrets over and over again. And sometimes those regrets, they keep us from progressing and moving forward in our faith. Because regret becomes dead weight, and you can't see anything other than your regret. So it's very hard to see in faith. It's very hard to have a vision with regret clouding your vision. Regret will keep you from restoration. It will keep you from redemption. And this text clearly outlines how God said, listen, now watch this. I'm going to show you something today. God says, listen, let's talk about those last 40 years for a minute. And when we do, when we cross over Jordan, not if, but when we do, because I told you 40 years ago I was going to get you here, and here we are, and I'm going to get you there. He said, but when we do, just remember, it's not because of your righteousness. Don't toot your own horn. God's not rubbing our poo in our faces. He's just reminding us how merciful and great God is. He wants us to know that we're here because of his mercy. You see, I don't know if we really, truly understand that and appreciate it. That's good. I'm okay with that. That's all right. Israel was not just crossing into Canaan. They were crossing into a land of no regret. What God was saying was, I'm not just bringing you into a piece of real estate. I'm bringing you into a future. I'm bringing you into a place where you can forget about where you were, who you were, and what you've done. I'm bringing you into a place of promise. It took longer, yes. Listen, anytime it takes longer is never because of God. It's always because of me. Yes, everyone didn't make it. I can go down the list and I can give you hundreds of people that have been through this church over the years and others. Everyone didn't make it. Yes, you yourselves didn't earn it, and you never could. That's why God always makes the way. God always provides. God will advance the kingdom under one condition, as long as we're in his will. He preaches the word, not man. A preacher doesn't preach. A preacher is just a face. It's God's word. That's why his word doesn't return void. That's why you can be the worst preacher in the world in man's, by man's standards, and have the greatest move of God. Because it's not the man. It's God. God works through willing vessels. He works for those who will humble themselves and pray. He works for those who will seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. It's not the man, it's God. He is a consuming fire. He goes before us. And so what I ask you today is the promised land to you. What does that mean to you? Have you ever even pondered that question? He's going to take them into a land of promise that flows of milk and honey. What does that mean? Again, was God promising a piece of real estate? No. No, that is not what God was promising. Better yet, what is a promise? Is a promise possessions? That's what the world thinks. Oh, I promise you when I get older, I'm going to have all kind of money. I'm going to be able to buy whatever I want. Maybe you got a promise for Christmas time, Santa never brought it. You take that up with Santa. Promise is not items or possessions. God was not promising real estate. God's promise is a way of telling us that we can move forward without any regrets. The land of promise was not just territory. The promise was you can leave everything behind and you can move forward. We have got way too many Christians today that are still living in the wilderness, and some will never get out of it. Do you know why? Because they've never learned to trust in the hand of God. The only way you will ever experience all that God has ever promised you is when you learn to trust in God with all of your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but with all of thine heart acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct thy paths. See, we live in a, am I boring you? We live in a day of options. If you don't want to go to church, go somewhere else, or somewhere else, or somewhere else, or find a YouTube video, this video, that video, that video, that video, that video, pull up sermon. We live in a day of options. And when we have too many options, we don't have to trust in God. But when we have to trust in God, we stay where God has, because he said, I will direct thy paths. I will put you on the path I want you. I'm here trying to explain to you that this promised land was a land of no regret. The sermon that we read was a message of a reminder that God is always bigger. No matter what, no matter where you've been, God was saying when you get ready to go, don't disqualify yourself because of what you've done. You don't have to have regrets because of Egypt, because of where you lived. You don't have to have regrets because of what you've done, i.e., the golden calf. You don't have to have regrets because of your lack of faith. You don't have to have regrets because of your unrighteousness. This land that God is bringing you into, this place in your life, is a place of promise where we don't have to live under the weight of regret. And I feel in the Holy Ghost that God is trying to lift that this morning from some people. Well, he says, my promise to you is this. When I give you the land that I prepared, you can go there without any regrets whatsoever. I've already told you it's not your ability. I've already told you what you've done. Remember how you made me angry? I wanted to kill you a couple times out there. Because any good parent wants to kill their kid once or twice in life. And I know I could get some amens on that one. You guys, you look, oh, this is so cute. Just wait. I can't wait. None of us can wait. You think we're just staring at you and your baby? No, we're thinking, oh, God, I can't wait. That's the truth, too. I have a question for you, and I don't want you to answer this out loud. Despite anything and everything in your life right now, how many people want to cross over from this stage of your life into the next in your relationship with God? Don't answer it. I want to remind you that God is a consuming fire. Whatever it is that's frightening you, the Anakims and their reputation, there's no way. Whatever it is, God goes before us and he deals with the problems ahead of time. And so that was the problem when they spied out the land. God could not do anything. Now, we're going to go back to faith for a minute. Let me preach this here in just a minute. He couldn't do anything because of their lack of faith. It wasn't their willingness. Had nothing to do with where they were. Had nothing to do with their money. Had nothing to do with anything at all except their inability to trust God. And what I don't like about that scripture is it proves to us that 10 people can ruin everything for everybody. That's why we try to get everybody on board. Because we want to move forward in what God is doing. Only God knows what tomorrow holds. Only God knows the people that will walk through the doors. Only God knows the revivals that will be had. Only God knows the sermons that are coming. Only God knows the victories. Only God knows the miracles. I prophesy to you that more are coming. Only God knows. But he needs us to realize that it's not because of our righteousness. Because if we don't realize that, one day we'll become lifted up within ourselves and think you're a good preacher. I used to think that. And then somewhere along the line, the older I got and the more I preached, the worse I felt I was. And I don't like that feeling. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Now watch this. We're still having this holy conversation with God before they cross into Jordan. And he says this, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known. Boy, I could preach just for a second. And which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretch out arm, his miracles, and his acts. Leave that on verse 2. Watch. Here's what God says. Before we cross over, there's only one thing that you've got to do. Love God with all of your heart. And then he says, watch this. Here's what he says. He says, Kristen, he says, I'm not speaking to your children. They haven't seen what I've done in your life. I'm talking to you. You know what God has done in your life. You know where God has brought you from. You have to live that life and pass that on to them, but I'm not talking to them. What am I saying? There's an element of accountability there that's being preached to us. God is saying, I'm about ready to do a great thing in your life, but I'm not doing it for your family. You're going to do it for your family. They'll never know what you've done in my life. Listen, I can tell the stories all I want. I can share my testimony 1,000 times, but it will just be another testimony to you. But to me, it was an era of my life where God did something great and miraculous. It was a time times in my life where I felt lost and hopeless and confused, but now when I look back, I can see exactly what God was doing the entire time. I can see that God was preparing me, that God was testing me, that God was staging me, and I can share that. But see, God is speaking to me because my kids will never fully understand it, no matter how passionately I share those testimonies. Your children will never fully understand the things you say to them. And so God is saying to us, he says, listen, I'm saying to you, only thing I need from you is to trust me and to love me with all of your heart, because of all people in the world, you should, because you know what I've done for you. You know what I've spared you from. You know where I've found you. You know the miracles that I've done in your life. And I'm not talking about tumors. I'm talking about the miracle that you're sitting on a pew today. The miracle of coming to an altar that you never knew existed at one point in your life. God asks one thing before we go into Canaan, that we love him above everything else. And there's one other thing he asked, to obey his word. I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm coming to an end slowly. He says, I'm not speaking to a generation that didn't understand what I've done for you. I'm speaking to you, the one that knows. Whom much is given, much is required. He who knoweth to do right and does it not, to him it's sin. See, I see what God has done in my life. I know where he's brought me from. I know what Moses was preaching in chapter 9. I know the message that he's trying to get across, that I've never been any good for this thing. I've never been righteous enough. I find no shame in that. I find no guilt in that. I take great pleasure in that. Because if I had to lean on my own righteousness for God to advance me in this life, I'd be lost. I'd be hopeless. But he took me and he chose me despite my unrighteousness. He threw me in a pulpit despite my preparedness. He gave me the privilege of serving him in this ministry. But he said, but above all of that, he said, the number one thing, you got to fall in love with me. You got to love me more than you love yourself. You got to love me more than you love your possessions. You got to love me more than you love your time. You got to love me more than you love your own children. He says, love me first. Why? Because when you put God first, everything else comes. Everything. And he says, obey his word. Look at verse 7. He says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. Now, can I have your attention for a few more minutes? The number one thing that drives people out of church, number one, you can point the finger at anybody you want to. It's disobedience. Number one. You get up there, why do you got to keep preaching the same thing? Because you're in disobedience and you can't handle it. And then what you do is you twist it because you got to justify your feelings. That's why I'm not going back, because I'm just getting sick and tired. All I do is talk about money, 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 because you're in disobedience. Can I preach for a second? He said, love me with all of your heart and obey. He said, keep all my commandments. Those are the two things that God asks. When you get into Canaan, love me with all of your heart and keep all of my commandments that I command you this day. Watch this. And when you do that, you'll be strong and you will go in and you will possess the land. It won't possess you. Oh, I could preach. Life won't control you. You won't be beholden by a judge or a jury or your peers. You won't be bound by your job or your career. He said, you will go in and you will possess the land. Someone asked me the other day, what does that authority look like? That's what it looks like. Can I tell you what it really looks like to walk in spiritual authority? Most people won't understand this statement. I'm sorry this recorded, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you walk in and you know all eyes are on me, The Bible says when the apostles walked through, it says they were amazed at their boldness. There was something in the crowd that drew them. It wasn't in a haughty way. It was, there's something that people sense that God is with you. That's where the fear of the Lord comes from. He says, if you will love me with all of your heart, if you will obey my commandments, you will be strong and you will go into the land and you will possess it. Is there anybody here that's tired of your past possessing you? Is there anybody here that's tired of your mistakes still hovering over you? Is there anybody here that's tired that you did one thing? I was going to make a funny comment, but I can't. I got to be careful. I get someone mad at me. I'm sorry, I'm just talking too much. When I got into church, I have a confession, and I'm not going to say where just so nobody tries to come back to me, but I had sticky fingers a lot before I got in church. Things just accidentally stuck to my fingers when I walked through stores. Wasn't my fault. I was a victim. And so when I got in church for years, every time I walked into a store, I felt like someone's watching me. I'd get angry. I'm not taking anything. And like, there's probably not a soul even looking at me. But you see, the spirit of my past still possessed me. And then there came a day when God released me from that. And he says, when I take you in, if you'll love me, and if you obey my commandments, you will now possess the land. You will. That's where name comes from. That's where respect amongst your peers comes from. There will always be people that hate you. Don't worry about that. There's always going to be someone that don't like you. In verse 9, he says, and that you may prolong your days in the land. That means it's not always forever. Your decisions determine how long it lasts. Which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give. Watch. Which he swore unto your fathers. You're there because of the prayers of someone you've never met. You're there because of somebody else's promise in many cases. If you knew that there are people sitting in the sanctuary today because God made promises to your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents when you said, God, you've got to save my family. And God said, I will do it. And you're here because of that. Which he swear unto your fathers to give unto them there and to their seed a land that flows with milk and honey. A promise, a land of no regrets, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came out when thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. I wish I could get someone to hear me. He said, it's not like it was in the world. You can't work your way into success here in this land the way you did there. You got to learn to trust me. God says, I am the provision in this land. I am the victory in this. I wish I could get someone to hear me. God says, I'm the victory in this land. I'm the doctor in this land. I'm the marriage counselor in this land. I'm the healer in this land. This is not like Egypt. It's not the way it was where you came out. It's different. It's a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. God provides a land the Lord thy God careth for. God, Lord, can you play for me? I really wish I could get some people to hear what I'm trying to say to you. God cares for you in this land. God provides for you in this land. I'm trying to get some people to believe it. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass if you, watch, he says it again. It shall come to pass if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. He says, if you'll do that, then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. He says, I will cause the increase. Don't you see it? Is there anybody that sees it? I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first rain and the latter rain. that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Don't you understand in this land God is the provision? Don't you understand in this land you can put your money in bags with holes in it if you don't understand that God is the provision? Why am I so bad to try and get people to believe that? Why does that make me such a horrible person? It's a reality. It's a fact. It's God's economy. This is a land of promise. It's not just another Egypt. It's not just a change of zip codes. You see, that's the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual place. That's the kingdom of God. When you live within his kingdom, it's his promised land. And he says, I'll send the rain upon your land. You know what that means, don't you? That means it doesn't matter how bad inflation is, God can still cause you to prosper. I believe that with all of my heart. It's a land, verse 12 again. Just go back there for 1 second. It's a land, verse 12, that God careth for. That God careth for. Back to verse 14. I'll give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain, the latter rain. Verse 15, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. God does it. He's the provision. I don't want to do it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Verse 16, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Who are these other gods? Well, the ones who you believe can actually cause you to prosper. The ones who open doors for you. Had a pastor call me this week. He said, hey, I just want to kind of fill you in. And he said, my assistant pastor. Got to be careful, those assistant pastors. Those errands. He said, they came to me and they said, well, pastor, would you pray? You know, we think God's calling us back here. And you know, everything's lined up. It's always God when it lines up, isn't it? As if the devil hasn't been lining things up for thousands and thousands of years after he didn't perfectly place himself at the tree where Eve went. You should become as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, wow, that's great. It must be God. Look, God is, oh, God's blessing me. And so then they told him in a later conversation, their mind had basically been made up. They wasn't seeking his blessing. He told them that too. You really didn't want my, you know, well, yeah, I know. Yeah, we make ourselves feel good. They didn't say this. We feel better when we pretend like we're asking for the pastor to pray with us. And he said, you know, I got to thinking. He said, in the 7 years they've been here, I don't think they've won one person to the Lord. He said, I'm going to rethink this whole assistant pastor thing. I said, good idea. Some people love titles more than they love ministry. Take heed, lest you serve other gods and worship them. Don't let other people, listen to me, don't let other people become your provider. Don't let them become your provision. You'll be indebted to them. You owe them. Hey, can you work Sunday this week? Man, I really don't like to work Sundays. I know, but just this one time. I just really need, oh, I feel bad. You know, they've done a lot for me, Pastor. Who's your God? What land are you living in? That's how the enemy gets you. Verse 17, and the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven. Sometimes our problems are because God has shut heaven up because we've not made him our first love and we've not obeyed his commandments. That there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord hath given you. Hang on, I'm almost done. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Because we always have a choice. We always have a choice. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have known. How is it that sometimes at one point in your life the church was the greatest thing since sliced bread? Now you can't, now you got to fight yourself to show up. How is it? Verse 31, the last two verses. For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. And you shall possess it and dwell therein. And you shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. So God says, you're going to possess it, but you got to keep observing all of my word. You got to keep God first. 2,633 days from the moment Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden until they crossed over Jordan. Or not days, years, I'm sorry. That'd be quick. 2,633 years. You know what that means? For 2,633 years, God had been trying to get the people to trust him, to bring them to this point, to this moment, where I can bring you into a land for you to possess. Not a land that will possess you. God doesn't want us being controlled by the economy. God doesn't want us being controlled by circumstances of this life. And I'm going to talk to some of you today too. God does not want you to be controlled by your criminal record. If you don't think for one moment that God cannot cause you to rise above that, you don't know God. God gives new identity. He gives a new name. Come on, I know that people will hold it against them, but that's not God. He said, when I bring you into this land of promise, he said, it's a land where you're going to possess it. It's not going to possess you. If you just love me with all of your heart, if you'll keep me first. God, I wish I could get some people to believe it. Some of you didn't know. You invite me into your house, you didn't know I used to have sticky fingers, did you? If anything turned out missing, it was not me, I promise you. I'm beyond that. You know why? Because God gave me a land to possess. And he got rid of my old identity. And that might not be much to you, but I don't want people to think I'm going to steal from them. I want people to know they can trust me. But I don't have to earn it. All I have to do is keep God first. He builds the reputation. God gives the name. Hear me. God is trying to bring us into a land where we have no regrets. It's a land of promise. I'm finished. So let me go back to my question. What is a promise to you? When we get married, we make a promise to love with all of our heart. What does that look like? Has anybody ever figured out what I promise to love you with all of my heart? Has anybody ever figured out what that looks like in real time? I mean, does love you with all of your heart, does that mean I'll never hurt you? Does that mean I might never even lie to you? No, it doesn't. You say, yes, it does. If you love somebody, you won't lie to them. No, sometimes our nature is still our nature until God changes it. Until God changes it. I'm not saying it's okay to lie to your spouse. See, I gotta spell all this stuff out for you people that want to get on me. What I'm saying is we make mistakes in marriage. Sometimes we make lasting mistakes, mistakes that hurt for a long time. But watch, but I still made a promise. You know what that promise is? I'm gonna keep trying to get better. I'm gonna keep trying to do better. I'm gonna fix it. Do we even understand marriage? Do we understand what true love is? Do we understand what that promise was when we make it? No. God, no. Does that mean I promise to love you and we're going to be financially set for the rest of our lives? We'll never have financial problems. We'll never have an argument. Things will be great and bliss. I'll walk through the door every day with roses in my hand. No. Some days I'm probably going to walk through the door and not even want to talk to you. What am I saying to you? I'm saying the promise that God gave us, does not mean a promise where nothing ever seems like it's just not right. It doesn't mean I'm making a promise and everything's going to be perfect. No, God proved that you're not perfect. Remember all those things you've done. Remember when I got mad at you, wanted to wipe you out? He said, but I'm doing this because I'm able and because I want to bring you into a land to possess it. This is the reason why repentance is more than words. It's action. Are you with me still? I feel like I've lost half of you. Repentance means turning. Watch this. You alone cannot do anything to absolve yourself of your past. You can run from it. You can take on a different identity. You are still you. But when I repent, what I'm saying to God is, I want to go a different direction. And God is saying, great, no problem. Let's pick up where we left off and let's start on this brand new journey. You see, God is the one that absolves us of our past. It's through repentance, because I can't do anything. I just make a decision to change my ways. The Lord delights in that, because only God can deliver us from our past. You know, you still haven't heard me yet. Repentance is so easy, it's frightening. It's not words, it's just a decision. That's what repentance is. Why is that important? Because you'll have regrets for the rest of your life if you don't understand it. I made a decision to change my life. I'm walking the opposite direction. Yeah, but remember, I remember. But I'm slowly vacating that lifestyle. And I'm not going to live in it anymore. I'm not going to have any regrets anymore. I know you think I'm preaching a couple things, but I'm not. No matter how many times one has fallen, no matter how many times one has acted out in immorality, it's all in Jesus. And he promises to take me somewhere else, to a place of no regret. Not because of me, but because of him. What am I saying to you? God, help these people to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Help somebody to understand that you're trying to transition them from one place to the next. But they first must understand who they were. And they second must understand who you are. And we must come to the realization that the only thing that really matters is if I love you with all of my heart and I keep your commandments. There are people here today, God, you know, I'm going to talk to God. I'm not going to talk to you for a second. God, you know that if they would just do the things that you have been convicting them about, their life would begin to change, but they're not doing it. There are people here today that are not doing some of the very simple things, God, you've dealt with them about. And they're letting themselves become angry, and they're letting themselves become frustrated, and they're ultimately going to turn on the church as if the church is the problem. Because we have regrets, because we know deep down inside that if I just listened to God and trusted him, I wouldn't be in this situation where I'm at. But I have a hard time. It's all faith, my friend. It's all about faith. When you get to Jordan, when you get to that river, it's all about faith. Who steps in first? The waters roll back. You get into Jericho. It's all about faith. Just listen to me. March. Just march. Don't fight. I know you got muscles. I know you worked out. Big deal. Nobody cares. Just fight. I know you're one of the best shots. Talk to some of you all that shot yourself. I won't talk about you though. But I don't care about that, God says. He says, I want to take you into a land to possess it. But you can't possess it unless you fall in love with me finally. Because when you love somebody, Keith, you overlook their faults. You overlook flaws. You know why you love your spouse the more the older you get? Because it becomes nothing about appearance as you get older. Gravity changes everything. Everything. People whose love is only superficial, those are the ones that wind up cheating. Because you learn to love an individual for who they are, despite their faults, right? How do you think God looks at us? Listen, I'm done because I have bored you to death, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to help you understand what I see in the Spirit. I see a clear path forward. I see people who are going to be released from a cloud in their life this year. It doesn't matter where you've walked or what you've been through. If you just love God with all of your heart, if you just trust God in His Word, that's all you got to do is just trust Him. Just trust Him. Whatever He asks, just trust Him. Just trust Him. Don't let anybody else talk you out of it. Don't let anybody. Just trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Because God is trying to lift some clouds. He's trying to say, this year, you're going to finally possess it. And it's not going to possess you any longer. You know how you get victory over the flesh? When you possess your flesh and your flesh doesn't possess you. You know how you get victory over temptation? When you learn to possess your own self and your walk with God. And you learn that you're in control of your life. And you know how you walk in victory? When you realize I've been a sinner from birth, but because God is able, and because He goes before me as a consuming fire, and because God makes the way, and He clears the path, and He reminds me, don't you forget, I did this. I'm saying, all right, that's no problem, God, thank you, because I tried too many years to come out from underneath this. I wasn't able. I wish I'd get somebody to hear me, that God is trying to say to somebody, you haven't fallen in love with me like you think you have, but if you will today, I'm going to take you into this land, and you're going to possess. It's a land of promise. It's a land of no regrets. Stand with me, please. Lord, if I have failed you with this word, God, I apologize before these people. But your word goes and it does not return void. Because you did not put everything in man's hands. You just wanted to trust the man to be the voice. You can fix the words. Number one, we got to stop holding people's past over them as well. Stop dangling something over somebody that God has already forgiven. And number two, stop living in Egypt. Make a decision this year, I want to possess the land. Listen, I see such clarity in the Spirit this morning. I don't know if I have seen this level of clarity up to this point. I'm telling you. I'm not trying to wow you today. I'm trying to dig deep and just tell you there's something here. There's something that God is trying to do. It's something beyond our understanding. But if you want to possess your land, if you want your land of no regrets, which is where God wants us to go, then you got to just love Him and continue to trust Him. I'm not going to turn this into a thing of giving, but I've told this church, I believe this year God was going to ask us to give more than we've ever given before. Because whom much is given, much is required. God wants to see our heart. He wants to test us. I really believe that. If you don't believe it, that's okay. Just come and worship and go home and we'll love each other. But for those that really receive that, I want you to receive it in your spirit. I'm going to possess it this year. I will possess my land, my schedule, my finances. None of those things will control me. I will possess my land. God, help us. Jesus, I pray that you help us right now. Lord, I pray, Father, that you stir us, God, our hearts right now. God, stir our understanding. Stir our minds. God, bring some clarity into this mess that I have created today. God, bring some clarity, oh God, into our hearts, I pray. Let it set as you intended it to set, God. Let it fall where you intended it to fall. I claim that in the name of Jesus, because you didn't put everything in the hands of a man. God, you asked me to be obedient, and I've tried to do that, but I wanted the word to settle right now where you intend for it to settle and how you intend for it to settle. God, so people in this church this year can cross over into a land where there are no more regrets, where our past no longer haunts us, God, because we choose to love you and we choose to obey your word. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. Go ahead, Brother Tyler. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is a house of worship.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
This is a place of praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Where every
glory, Jesus.
Where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say, and we sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything,
yes, Lord Jesus,
to the
hallelujah,
feet of Jesus. Everything. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. There's resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over. Even the cold is grave. And we sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. And we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. And we sing, come alive, come alive. In the name of Jesus, come alive. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. And we bring everything to the feet of Jesus, everything. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. Oh, we sing, come alive, and come alive. In the name of Jesus, come alive. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything. And I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things.
I want you to keep your eyes closed, but I've asked Brother K.O. to come up and pray for us again because I feel in the Holy Ghost. Really, we probably don't even need any more music right now, Brother Tyler. I really feel like we just really need to dig for a few moments in the Spirit. I really feel like we just need to dig. I know what God wants to do. I know what God is saying, and I believe you do too. So I want him to come and really lead and push us in prayer and let this word be established this morning.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you felt the word of the Lord this morning, I want to ask you to come to the front in one mind and one accord. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Don't be afraid to come to the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want all of the young, strong men in the Holy Ghost to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost with all of your might. Lord Jesus, give us the courage, I pray, to go in to a land that floweth with milk and honey, God, into the promised land that you have promised us, Lord, that you've promised us in a prayer room, that you've promised us, God, through the word of the Lord Jesus. God, give us the courage to let go of the past and move forward, hallelujah, into a land, God, that you promised, a land of no regrets, a land, God, hallelujah, where you are, where we know you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, give us enlightenment. Let our eyes see, Lord, what you're doing in this hour. Let us cross over the River Jordan in the name of Jesus Christ. God, it's going to take each and every one of us moving forward together into a land that floweth with milk and honey in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you called all of the men of war when they went into the promised land to gird up their loins and fight. God, I pray every young man, every young woman, every able body that has strength enough, God, can lead the charge to go into a land of no regrets. Lord, I pray that our young men and our young women would bear the strength of our elders in this hour in the name of Jesus. Give every person strength and the ability to move forward in the name of in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I want every young woman and every young man, every person that's filled with the Holy Ghost, to begin to pray in the Spirit with all of your might. Every once in a while, we've got to take authority. Every once in a while, we've got to be very, very strong in our prayer in the name of Jesus. He varando rolobo, si atayando rolobo, he arananda yeshi atayando rolobo, si aronai, he vayando rolobo, si atayando rolobo, he arananda rolobo, ki aronai, yesuruvando rolobo. It's time for us to push into the promise. It's time for us to push into the promise in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm leaving my past behind me. Lord, I'm putting those things behind me and moving forward into the promise, God. We're going to see unexpected miracles take place. We're going to see things we never thought of. The things that we've dreamed about begin to transpire, Lord, because we believe in your word. We believe in what you're doing, God. We are aligning ourselves with your promise. We're aligning ourselves to cross over the River Jordan, Jesus. We are putting our faith in you. We are obeying your word, God, and because of that, you're going to move. You're going to show yourself strong. You're going to move on our behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, it doesn't matter where we are in life. It doesn't matter what we've done, but when we align ourselves with your vision, you will move. There's
no doubt, God, in our hearts that when we align ourselves to your vision, you'll move, you'll move, you'll move. With just the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, Lord, your word says that you'll move. My faith is battered and bruised, but I'm holding on to just a little bit of it today. We know you're... I just feel in the Holy Ghost there's some in this house. You're at the end of your rope. It seems like you've tried everything, hallelujah, to be successful, if you will. It's time to trust Jesus with everything. It's time to finally obey the word of God in everything that you do. God, we understand that you're not a man that you should lie, but you fulfill every word. You fulfill every promise. Every word you have spoken shall come to pass. And God, today we submit ourselves to your word. We submit ourselves to your way because we know every word will come to pass. Yes, Lord, we've made mistakes. Yes, Lord, we haven't been on the top of our game, but we understand, Lord, that your word is true, and we are the sheep of your pasture, and because we've been washed by your blood and your name is written on our forehead, we have these exceeding and precious promises. Lord, you are everything to us. We understand, God, that without you we cannot do anything. We understand, God, that you are our strength. You are our help in the time of trouble. We understand without you, we can do nothing. God, it's because of you that we live, we move and breathe and have our being. It's because of you that we come to the house of God every day. It's because of you, Lord, that we're able to do the things that we do. Lord Jesus, help us to understand that it's you that takes us over the River Jordan. Help us understand that it's you that helps us to possess the land. Help us to understand, God, without you we can do nothing. Oh Lord, help me in my fear and unbelief to trust you, that if I put my trust in you, the heaviness I carry will leave. If I put my trust in you, Lord, you're able. You're able. Lord, I've tried to bear the weight all by myself. I've tried to walk according to my own way. But today I submit myself to you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I put my hand in your hand, knowing that it's you that can do it.
Hallelujah. Listen, I want the praise team to come back. Listen, real quick. Canaan doesn't look like the wilderness, and it doesn't look like the Egypt. What you have to understand is when we cross over and we actually possess it, your life's not going to look the same. You got to look at your life right now, and whatever whatever that means. For me, it means authority. I'm believing God this year for more healing and miracles than I've ever seen in my life, because I feel different about it. I feel like God has given us that to possess finally. Not so we can brag about it, so God can be boasted about. Amen. And so I want you to claim that. I want you to claim that this morning. That's what possessing it means. Claim it. Don't beg God. Claim it. Claim it in your life. Claim it in your family. Claim it in your home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother K.O., pray once more while they get this song ready, please. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go ahead and raise our hands again. I don't know if you guys understand what these last weeks have been, Pastor, preaching. I don't know if you guys have sensed what's been happening, but literally the Lord has been pushing through Pastor's mouth. He's been trying to push the church into a new dimension. There are some of you that your faith has been battered and bruised. It has been broken, and God's trying to restore your faith because he wants to show himself strong. You see, it doesn't matter where you come from or what's happened in your life. All what has to happen is the little bit of faith that you have has got to connect with the word that's being preached. And when your faith connects with the word that's being preached, it will literally, utterly change your life. And it's nothing that you or I have done. So we're going to pray one more time as the praise team get ready. And we're going to say, God, we believe in what your word is declaring through the man of God these last few weeks. In Jesus' name, every hand raised. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe that what is being preached through the man of God, hallelujah, the last few weeks, God, we are connecting with the word. We are submitting ourselves to the word. Help us to see the vision that our pastor sees. Help us to see the vision that he sees in our lives and in our families. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are submitting ourselves to your word. We are submitting ourselves to your way in the name of Jesus Christ.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe? Report, will you believe?
Sing
his report. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Oh, jump in the river.
Says victory.
Jump in the river. report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
Says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Oh, we
all right, real
jump.
Quick. We're going to baptize Justin. I'm so proud of him for making it. Nobody approached him. He actually approached us. But I'm really proud of him for making this decision. And I want to say to his parents, it's a sign of how we begin to possess the land. Life no longer controls us when we begin to obey God and everything that God expects of us. Amen? And so I've asked Brother Jerome to baptize him because I can't put this in chlorine. So we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray for him right now. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for Justin's decision today. And we pray, God, that you're going to do more that you've already done. God, you're going to continue, Lord, to enrich his life. He's going to trust you more than he ever has before. And God, you're going to bring him into his promised land. God, his place of no regrets, where you'll bless his life richly. And he'll do more for you than what he ever imagined. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray.
Justin, by the confession of your faith, we now baptize you in Jesus' name for the remissions of your sins.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.
Jump in the river.
Don't forget the booths out front.
Jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost. Holy report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
Says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Oh, we jump, jump in the river. Wonderful day. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Don't forget to visit the tables out in the foyer.